Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
We certainly do. And here to talk about songs today is, well, me, Mark, and my co-host, the spectacular Sarah D. Bunting. Hello, Sarah.
Thank you so much. Hello.
Now, Sarah, you are the one who has brought in the songs we're discussing today. Do you want to tell us what they are?
I do. And then I'm going to try to explain the fever dream of, quote, logic that brought us here. But first, today we're talking about Peter Gabriel's Digging in the Dirt and Phil Collins's Through These Walls. So this began with my thinking, I think I'll pick a Peter Gabriel song. It's a little bit weird that we've never talked about him directly, given how large he loomed, certainly in my, like, you know, late 80s, early 90s pop musical life. And then I was like leafing, theoretically or figuratively, through my Apple Music listing and all this stuff. And I was like, let me do one from the album Us, because I think that those songs are a little less fraught than, for example, In Your Eyes or the stuff from the 80s. And then I was like, I think that song's about a serial killer, so I should pair it with a Phil Collins song, because Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins both were Genesis lead singers, and Phil Collins has a song about a stalker. It's not in the Air Tonight, which is actually about a friend of his drowning and the fact that he thought bystanders could have helped this friend. There's another song called Through These Walls that is like understood to be about like Peeping Tom creepo.
Yeah, he's got the glass up to the wall listening to them, his next-door neighbors have sex.
Yeah, and there's also some watching of children. We'll get to it, unfortunately. So then I started preparing the episode, and it seemed evident based on my research that wherever I got the idea that Digging in the Dirt was about was from the perspective of a serial killer, I've done some drugs in college and beyond, and there seems to be no empirical evidence for this assertion. So basically, we end up pairing two Genesis lead singers who have done songs that were misunderstood as to be about a certain creepy thing that weren't, and a question mark, but we've never really talked about, we talked about a Phil Collins cover, but I think that's kind of the only direct Phil Collins that we've dealt with, and Peter Gabriel we haven't discussed. And in our last episode, we were talking about like famous pairings, pop musicians and actors, and here's another one, because apparently Digging in the Dirt is mostly about him going to therapy after breaking up with Rosanna Arquette, which I had completely forgotten was ever even a thing, and is like baffling that occurred. But apparently it did. So let's start with a clip from Digging in the Dirt, and then we can talk about why I got the idea that it's narrated by, like, the Yorkshire Ripper. I don't know.
I feel it in my head. I feel it in my toes. I feel it in my sex. That's the place it goes.
That clip is pretty long. Sorry about that. Don't sue us, Peter Gabriel. Here is where I clipped such a long clip because there are like three different modes in which the narrator is operating in this song. And I think that perhaps to my pretentious slash addled by marijuana college brain, this reflected the way that sociopaths and serial killers can present different faces to the world, to victims, to law enforcement, the sort of volatility, emotional volatility of serial killers, the manipulations of a sociopath, that he goes from, and you see this in the video to an extent, this like ragey attempt in the video to like kill a hornet. And he's like accidentally hitting stuff in the car and breaking windows and hitting the woman he's with. But you could also see that as like, you know, inability to like anger issues. And then pulling back to this, like, I'm so sad and I'm going to therapy and I'm so sorry and it'll never happen again. I think that if you look at the sequence I just clipped, you could rationalize believing that it is narrated by a serial killer.
Well, there was also, I did find in my research, maybe you saw this too, that he did profess to being influenced by a book he had read called Why We Kill,
mm-hmm.
about what makes people murder each other. So it's not like there's no element of homicide in this song.
Right. Well, and
unless you went back and added that to the internet later just to justify your own memory.
Well, and that's I did not. That is too clever for me to have thought of doing. But I think lyrically my take from 30 years ago is believable. And aurally, I think it is. Like I think there's definitely a purposeful inclusion of different narrative moods here that could reflect either like I'm going to therapy and trying to sort some shit out and it's quite painful, this excavation. But you could also see it from a much more sinister standpoint and not be completely off base. Like, I suspect if like confronted with this theory, Peter Gabriel would be like, well, If that's what you're getting from it, then it's not totally wrong. I mean, it's not like it's not about, you know, My Little Pony or unicorns or anything. So that interpretation would be wrong. This one is just maybe weird. So, but yeah, the song also hasn't aged that well. Like, I feel like this album lived in the CD changer when it came out, and then I just don't really hang out with it anymore. Like, when I returned to it, it was like, oh yeah, and this album has two duets with Sinead, and I'm kind of like, yeah, no, I'm all set, I'm good, like, I wish you both well. If you do another duet, like, you know, DM me, but I'm good. So that was interesting, revisiting this song. Not just that I was like, wow, I apparently crack was one of the drugs, because I don't think about a serial killer, but also that Peter Gabriel as a pop artist, like 15 years of his output were like written on my DNA for a certain period. And now I'm just not, like, I don't engage with it anymore. And I'm not sure why.
It is interesting how we have artists in our lives that we're so into for a specific period, and then it just sort of ends. And no one got in a fight. Yeah. Nobody cheated on anybody. It's just that the relationship ran its course.
Yeah. So what has your relationship been with old Peter?
Limited essentially to the Sledgehammer video.
Okay.
I mean, I had heard this song before, certainly. Because it was a single and it had a video that was on MTV. And I knew Steam from this album because there was a video. I, of course, know In Your Eyes because I live in America or slash the world.
Yeah.
I mean, Shock the Monkey, big time. Basically, I know all of the songs that were ever on MTV or VH1.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually am glad that we're talking about Phil and Peter together, because famously, for or perhaps not famously for those who don't know, but Phil Collins took Genesis away from being a prog rock band after he took over as the lead singer. And when Peter Gabriel was the lead singer, they were real fucking weird. And they were like, Peter Gabriel would wear alien costumes on stage, and all of their albums were like 96 minutes song cycles about living inside the mind of an earthworm, something like that. So yeah. it is interesting to hear, even in these two songs, the differences in essential artistic temperament, because even though Through the Wall is very out there for Phil Collins, the man who would eventually deliver a song like Another Day in Paradise, as though it weren't a bomb being dropped on the world. Right.
Like,
it's, I mean, he went into, let's say, a glurgy direction.
Yes, let's.
But it's interesting to even hear, be able to see that he's got more of a straight down the middle pop instinct than Peter Gabriel. And I think this is why Peter Gabriel has never been someone I fucks with, as they say, as they say, because I feel like, and this might make me sound like a Philistine, but I feel like I have to work too hard to listen to a Peter Gabriel song.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think that he does have songs that are very sort of simple and elemental, and I considered bringing Here Comes the Flood to the table, but it's just like this song and certain the original album recording versus the whichever one is on 16 Golden Greats is different, and there's one that is so sad and beautiful that it would just be like, okay, well, I think this performance is better, and also I'm a snotty puddle. Like, a 7-minute episode about Sarah crying? Like, we've done a couple of those, and nah. So, I skipped it, but it's like, there is, he does have material that is, like, academic, and that's why they invented the skip button. And yeah, but like having kind of passed through that period where it felt essential, where he felt essential, I can't really, like, I'm not going to put together a playlist for you and be like, well, why don't you try this? Like, well, you could, but you could also listen to something that you already know you like. There's something wrong with that.
Right. Even listening to Digging in the Dirt, which I did 3 or 4 times in preparation for this episode, in the moment of listening to that song, even when you play the clip, I'm liking it. The groove is nice on that song, and his vocal is very interesting and dynamic. But then it's like, I always just end up thinking about the song as I'm listening to it, and I like to think about the song later, but in the moment of listening, there's got to be something that makes me feel I'm being reached in a space beneath thinking. And I guess I could just, for whatever reason, can never get there with Peter Gabriel. I always just end up thinking about how good it is rather than enjoying how good it is.
Right. Well, and Phil Collins definitely is at the other end of that. He's at that other pole, which is like, it seems to me like Peter Gabriel, there is a concerted effort in 90% of his solo songbook to leech sentiment out.
Yes, exactly.
Of the proceedings. Yes. And Phil Collins is going through Peter Gabriel's trash, collecting the extra sentiment and glurging it onto
yes
songs, like, or just being like, you know, Sussudio, what could go wrong? Like, well, I could live in a dorm room that looks into the aerobic section of the university gym and hear Sussudio 17 times a day for a year.
You did? This was a thing that happened?
This was a thing that happened.
Wow. So that's interesting that they had a mixed-use building on the Princeton campus that was both aerobic center and dormitory.
Well, my dorm, like, backed up onto this old gym, and like, because of weird, like, acoustic patterns in the campus, it didn't seem that close when we drew the room. And then
you're like, Sussudio.
The suffering. I mean, it's actually not that bad of a song, but when you
See, I'm actually mad at you that you just pulled that right out. End podcast. I can't anymore.
I'm so sorry. All right, let's try to stay on track because Peter Gabriel's the Peter Gabriel contribution here is it's not like opaque, but there are a number of interpretations. Phil Collins is absolutely telling instead of showing.
Oh my God, yes.
And then he's also showing on the music side. Let's hear a clip. This is also a bit long, but I wanted to try to get in the very obvious machinations of Phil Collins, both lyrically and musically, in this song, Through These Walls, which I keep seeing rendered as through apostrophe these walls, THRU apostrophe these walls. Why, Phil Collins? Here's a clip.
I can see through my windows. I can see them playing with toys. Oh, I hope it won't end. Ooh, if I promise to touch, just be a friend. Life is so long.
Okay, so this is like overtly creepy, and it is trying lyrically
yes.
and aurally to be creepy. I will give him credit for the fact that, like, in the first section where this is the face that the skeezy voyeur, like, scoutmaster character presents to other adults, that he's like, what? I'm just watching the kids. They're so full of joy. And then the second part is like, but I'm, you know, I have a boner. So the first part is this like extremely dull B-side early 80s like filler track on an album sound that he pairs with this more assertively off, like there's syncopation, there's like weird, if you're listening to it in stereo, the sound goes back and forth between the channels and sort of is disorienting purposefully. And I respect how much work and quote craft he put into making it clear that there's two faces of this narrator and two sounds that the narrator experiences, like two different like internal monologues that the narrator experiences, but it's also very labored, and you see mm-hmm. all the seams, and it is a fascinating contrast, not only in itself, but to A, In the Air Tonight, which has been consistently misinterpreted, but I think he is frustrated by that, but I feel like he should take that as a compliment, that it's a little more subtle, that this is about Kitty Genovese, this is about a stalker, this is about my friend who drowned. Like, it could be any of those things. Take the W. Take any
right.
of the W's. Whereas this one is like, it's like someone wheels in a gong, bangs it, and is like, and now a rumination on pedophilia. Like, guy, like, you don't have to actually take our hands, and also please don't, because this narrator is revolting. So to contrast that with that song, And but then also with the Peter Gabriel song, which is much more of a sort of like poetry workshop, like whatever you think is in there, provided it's not like the sinking of the Titanic, that's what's in there. Enjoy.
Yeah. It's like two people who somehow once were in the same band.
Yeah.
Deciding that they're going to make a creepy, structurally inventive song. And the result tells you so much about both artists.
Yeah. But then it's also really interesting that, like, I'm sort of like actively negative on Through These Walls as a song. But I feel like I feel more about it than I feel about Digging in the Dirt, which is like not antiseptic, but like it's extremely sort of clinically assembled and presented. Whereas this is like the Phil Collins is like sweaty.
Yeah.
And it smells like mothballs. And I'm like, I don't like this, but like at least I have a strong opinion. So like which one is better for our purposes, hard to say. Like Phil Collins is trying really hard, but he's getting the reaction.
Yeah, okay, because when I listen to Digging in the Dirt, I just generally enjoy it and go about my day. But you're right. Through These Walls, which I had not heard before until this episode, and which I am shocked to learn was released as a single in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, what? Like, oh, Thatcherian England. What? What?
But it's just truly a grotesque song.
Yeah.
The lyrical choices that he makes, the words are the exact right words to be gross. The discordant structure, like you were saying, the way that it bounces around in your ears, the way that it keeps shifting in time signatures, it's just all very, very unsettling. And I remember once I saw a play based on that true crime case about that girl, Christina Likens, I think, who was held in the basement of her neighbor's house for months.
Sylvia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sylvia Likens. So I saw a play that was about that, and it was one of the most viscerally disturbing things I've ever seen. But then at the end of the day, I thought, am I glad I saw that? It worked. It succeeded. It was revolting to me. I can still conjure up the feeling of dread and disgust I felt, but is that good? And I have to say, I read in my preparation for this some essay bemoaning the fact that Phil Collins never again reached the heights of In the Air Tonight and Through These Walls. And I thought, well, maybe he stopped being this overtly, effortfully off-putting. Mm-hmm. But given the choice, I really would prefer to hear Take a Look at Me Now against odds.
Yeah. I mean, and that too is like, it's very obvious, but occasionally that hits it right on the sweet spot. And that is a great song. I think that's probably his best solo work.
Yes.
And, you know, I like some later Genesis also, but I don't know if you watched the video for this song, but like it had a video. Why?
Which is insane.
And he is absolutely committed to looking, and I have to wonder if some record company exec wasn't like, the thing is that you look kind of like a bad toucher, so why don't you buy
Guess
a van.
What, Philip? You've already done half the work, Philip.
Yeah. And he's willing to like be in this weird, he's placidly in his rocking chair, but then in the background, there's like some kid playing with a rubber ball. And then he's like leering with this weird, like under lighting.
Why would you want to present yourself as this character?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't. And that like that he is literally, he says the lyric about putting a glass up to the wall and listening to the neighbor's bone. And then he does it in the video. And it's like, clink, like, we got it.
Yeah. Good Lord.
I mean,
well,
but yeah, I mean, it's really interesting to look at. And then you just have to wonder what like, what the other members of Genesis sort of thought as this was all unfolding before them, that were, they're like, you know, no one, You know, the one guy's like, I'm going to write In the Living Years and just destroy everybody at weddings. And then the other guy's like, I'm Tony. And then they're just like, and whatever Peter Gabriel is doing, like that VMAs, I guess, where he showed up and looked literally like Dr. Evil, including with the mouse suit. And everyone's like, we don't know what to say. I mean, it just must have been really fascinating. And now I need to go and see if they wrote memoirs and read them.
Okay, sidebar. I recently listened to The Living Years and I've apparently reached the age where I now cry when I hear that song because yeah. I sure did.
It's the the fucking boys choir at the end. Like, God damn it. Mike.
And or the mechanics.
Yeah. I blame the mechanics for this.
And I also do want to just note that I really like Peter Gabriel's appearance on a Paula Cole song called Hush, Hush, Hush from her album This Fire, where he plays the father of a young man dying of AIDS. Like, that sounds about right. It's like very effortful and constructed, but it works.
Well, I think their voices would go well together too. Like he has a certain timbre that would pair well with hers.
He took her on tour and kind of helped make her career there for a while. So, you know, good looking out.
Sure.
But it's fascinating so Peter Gabriel has really remained himself in one way or another from the 70s to today. I'm just thinking through this now. But Phil Collins journeyed from this song to one of the worst songs of all time, which is You Will Be in My Heart from the movie Tarzan.
Yeah, but I don't think that it's that far a distance.
Yeah, based on the way that we've just been talking about this song, you're right. Like the effortfulness to mimic something without maybe quite inhabiting it is there in both places.
Yeah, and just that he is not, Collins is not an artist who sort of, he's incapable or it's just not a creative thing that appeals to him, but like opacity or ambiguity, he's not fucking around and finding out with that.
Right. And the thing that's so interesting is, as we've just said with Against All Odds, and I would say for me a few other songs, sometimes his blunt approach really clicks. I mean, obviously the man has sold like a billion records. Yeah. A lot of people enjoy those songs, and I really do like some of them. So I'm not trying to join the chorus of people who just dog on Phil Collins, but I'm also not trying to front like Phil Collins is a problem-free listening experience.
Well, no. I mean, look, sometimes high fructose corn syrup is exactly what you need. And other times you get the diabetes.
And then if you would prefer something that's sweetened with matcha powder and stevia, then you go to Peter Gabriel.
Just as I thought it was going all right, I found out I'm wrong. It's always the same, it's just a shame, that's all.
Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs is hosted by Mark Blankenship, that's me, and Sarah D. Bunting.
That's me. I also edit the podcast, which is a proud member of the Bleave Network. Learn more at bleav.com.
To learn more about us, submit song requests, get a pop chart reading, or buy a Mastis book, visit our website at markandsarahtalkaboutsongs.com. You'll also find all of our social media links there, too.
That's Mark and Sarah, with an H, talkaboutsongs.com. And for even more content and access the Mastass Happy Hour, become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/mastass.
Thanks for listening.
Sarah, talk about
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.